The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I'm just back. I got back on Saturday from teaching the first 6 weeks of the three-month retreat at the Insight Meditation Society in Massachusetts, and that was really a wonderful thing to be doing. It's delightful to spend time in that environment. It gave me a kind of a, it's almost like a retreat for myself too, so that was lovely. And it's also lovely to be back, so I'm glad to be back. I looked on Audio Dharma to see what Matthew had talked about last week and noticed that he started with questions, and I remembered I used to do that a while ago. I did that for a while, and then I thought maybe I could start there tonight too. So I thought I would open that first to an invitation. If you have any practice-related questions, that might be questions about things that come up in meditation, or questions about how to meditate, meditation technique, or it might be questions about things that kind of difficulties that you experience in meditation, things that are a little hard to work with, or it could be looking at how to work with something that's happening in your daily life. How do I work with this while I'm at work, or something like that? So just start with checking in. Are there any practice-related questions before I start a talk? Yeah, and this one in the back first, and then here, and then if you can use the mics.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
You look great. Life agrees with you. My problem is one of continuity. I sense that in the same way that practicing, for example, a musical instrument, let's say a really beautiful instrument, a peaceful instrument like the flute, clarinet, something like that, harp, piano, whatever, continuity builds skill, if you will. And I'm just struggling with the question of continuity in a very human way. Thank you for listening.
So a question for you. Is this continuity that you're asking about, the question of continuity, is it like regularly everyday continuity kind of question of how to have a continuity each day of a sitting meditation, or?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
There's different ways to
understand
the word continuity.
And I guess the other part of that would be the interval, whether it's every day or every other day or you know, the interval. Okay.
So thank you for the question. Yeah, establishing a practice. In fact, the group next Wednesday, you might be interested in checking that group out, because I think it does talk about that, just that very thing. And so the question, or the reflection about how, or the comparison between a musical instrument and meditation, I think is really appropriate. Basically meditation is a skill. We are cultivating a skill here. And if we practice, and I think this is why it's called practice, if we practice every day, it does tend to improve that skill, that ability to meet our experience. The skill of meditation has different flavors to it. It has a flavor of just a simple awareness of what's happening moment to moment is one form of that. Just simply knowing, yep, right now there's sound and there's emotion and there's body sensation, and just kind of being aware of what's happening in the moment. That's one flavor, kind of on one end of the spectrum. And another flavor or skill that's cultivated is this ability to stay with one experience, like the breath, for instance. As in the guided meditation, I was encouraging a kind of a hybrid of these two in a way, where you are keeping in touch with the breath, but also open to other experience. So there's a range of skills that we practice in meditation. And one of the things about cultivating a skill in you know, often, like, for instance, if you're practicing something like basketball or a piano or something, you might pick the area where you're you need the most work and spend a lot of time with that. You know, so if you need a lot of work with fingering scales or something, you might spend a lot of time with that in your practice sessions. In basketball, if you need practice doing jump shots, you might, you know, practice that a lot. In meditation, there's a different kind of orientation in a way, and it is whatever is easiest or most natural for you in cultivating the skill of meditation, wherever it's most natural for you. If that's on the end of the spectrum that is just open to experience, notice the flow of changing experience in the present moment. If it's metta practice, if it's cultivating that quality of loving kindness, if it's concentration practice, if it's staying with the breath, whatever is easiest for you, do that. Start there. So that's what I encourage in terms of getting a kind of an established practice going, is finding what feels most congenial for you in this realm of meditation skills and starting there. The Dharma, the practices are all connected. And so if you start by cultivating those skills that are most natural to you, it will begin to open up to the areas that are less comfortable or natural for you. So it's kind of different. It's kind of different than what we usually think of in terms of, I need to cultivate this because, like, I'm not very good at staying with the breath, so let me practice that. And, you know, so we might think that that's how we should work our practice. But it actually tends to be not so helpful to go that way, but to really establish a sense of, that sense of appreciation, enjoyment, and ease with the practice. And that itself will encourage or incline us to want to practice, for one thing. And in terms of establishing a practice, you know, sometimes another thing to know is that when we are living our lives, conditions change. And so there will be days when it feels easier than others. And it's not a problem, and it's not like, It's not something that's, yeah, it's not a problem if there are days when it feels hard. Like yesterday it felt easy and today it feels hard. What we may think of, and one teacher actually, after Sharon Salzberg talks about this, that she found that some days it was just so easy. She'd sit down and it would be so easy to concentrate. And other days she would sit down and her mind was spinning and there was a lot of thinking and a lot of stuff going on in her mind. And, you know, she, at some point after days of this, when she sat down and discovered that her mind was spinning, she just decided, well, it's not worth it today. I'll wait until it gets better again. And she, like, got up and, you know, went to do something else. And she reported this to her teacher, and he said, you know, just put your body there. Just do it. It doesn't matter so much if it's hard or if it's easy. You're cultivating the strength of capacity to meet more difficult experience when it's hard. You know, sometimes Gill talks about, I think the way he says it is, mindfulness works when it doesn't seem to be working. And he also talks about, you know, he gives an analogy, if we're, you know, rowing across a lake, we like it if, you know, the water is smooth. You know, we're in a canoe or something. The water is smooth, and the, you know, the wind is at our, is in the direction that we're going. So it's like really easy. You know, you make a stroke and you whiz right along. Feels very pleasant. It feels like, wow, I'm making a lot of progress here. You know, And then another day, the wind is blowing at the opposite direction, the water's very choppy, and you have to work really hard to get anywhere. It does, in fact, you may not even get across the lake. And yet, strength is being cultivated. In fact, more so on the day when it's challenging. There's more strength being cultivated. And so when it feels hard, don't discount that, because it can mean that there is something, some strong qualities being cultivated in that time. And so, just I would suggest picking a time in the day that feels like it's comfortable for you, that you have the time in the day, and also pick something that you can commit to. Might be 20 minutes, might be 30 minutes, and it could be 10 minutes. And just see if you can keep to that kind of regular schedule. And then if you, if you've stayed with it for a week at 10 minutes a day, then the next week you could add 5 minutes and see how that goes. It really is an encouragement to strengthen this factor of resolve, this sense of I'm going to do this, I'm just going to keep trying. And if that I'm going to do this, I'm just going to keep trying can be expressed or felt in a non-aversive way, it's not like, oh, I'm so bad at this, I'm just going to keep pushing along. It's not like that. It's more like, oh, okay, yeah, it's hard right now. I'm just going to keep trying. Yep, got lost again. Okay, I'm just going to keep trying. That's a skillful resolve, to just keep trying and just keep exploring that possibility. And one more question here.
So I had more of a daily life question. I have been traveling the last 6 months and doing a lot of practice, and I'm entering back, I guess you can call it the real world or the material world a little more, and I've been interviewing for jobs, and I'm finding a real conflict, kind of like this internal conflict of maybe like of integrity with how I'm presenting myself to potential employers. And one of the first interviews I went into, it wasn't a job I was real excited about. So it was kind of an experiment where I went in there and I was real mindful and real mellow, and not kind of putting on a show as to how to present myself. I was real sincere. He was really sweet and really honest. He's like, you seem wonderful, and your lifestyle is, I really support it, but, I feel like he was looking for somebody who was like, I'm going to come in here and get the job done. And so I guess I felt a little conflicted as I went into other interviews that I've been interviewing the last couple of days for jobs I find more desirable, and how to present myself in a way, I guess, where I can keep integrity with my pace and my practice, but also where I'm, considered a desirable employee. In this area, I feel like Silicon Valley, it's competitive. And, I need to make money. And so I guess I feel, I did kind of come out and I was a little more assertive today. And it was interesting to watch, but I definitely, I was wound up afterwards. Uh-huh. It was, hard to calm down, uh-huh. And it was, hard to, come into my body. I don't know, the wheel started turning, and I was, yep. I was, in it, uh-huh. know? So I don't know if you have any reflections on that or advice.
I have a few thoughts. One is that the first thing I'll say, and this may not be exactly what you want to hear, but mindfulness does not mean mellowness. One of the great strengths of, or I don't know, strengths, maybe the great learnings of my own practice has been the possibility of a malleable mind, a flexible mind, a mind that's able to enter into conversation and engage and be very present, and then in coming out from that, know how to basically, you know, sometimes when we come out of a situation where we've been very active, it's a skill to learn how we settle after that. And so that's a place to start to explore. You know, for instance, here's just a simple example for you. You know, for instance, when I give a Dharma talk at night, my energy goes really high. And I usually don't go to sleep till very late. It's just the fact of this. It used to be kind of a, you know, oh, this is a problem, I need to go to sleep. And it's just more like now, it's just like, okay, these are the conditions. This is what happens after that circumstance. And, okay, that's the way it is. And there's not the fighting in the mind, not the resistance to that energy coming up. Or another example, and this is really where I learned this lesson. I was in Burma at a monastery in Burma that allowed talking and, in fact, encouraged the mindfulness of talking and, you know, the movement between the mindfulness of talking and the silent meditation. And at first, when I began to explore that, I would see the energy go through the roof with the talking. You know, I'd be very quiet, very mellow in the meditation, very still, very calm in the meditation. Then we'd have lunch, and there'd be a lot of conversation. And I'd be as present as I could be for that. That was its own exploration of how to be present in that interaction. And then going back to the meditation, at first, you know, it's kind of like, wow, there's a lot. This isn't the way it was before. You know, there's a lot of agitation here. There's a lot of energy here. And, you know, initially there was a little bit of resistance to that. But because it was encouraged and allowed, I just was like, okay, well, these are the conditions. There's a lot of energy in the body after talking. I'll just be with that. And what I started to see pretty quickly at that monastery was that when I didn't resist that shift of energy, when I neither resisted in the engagement, the interest, the engagement with people, the conversation, when I didn't resist that, and when I came into the meditation and didn't resist that experience either, because after having a conversation, of course there's going to be more energy in the body. When I didn't resist that, and I just like, oh, wow, there's lots of energy happening right now. It settled very, very quickly, way more quickly than I ever would have imagined. A lot of what happens in the mind there is like, this isn't what I want to be. This isn't the way I want it to be. I want to be calm. I don't want this energy to be happening. This is putting me into a space where I'm thinking a lot of thoughts. And actually, the reflection is adding to that whole process. So it's possible to explore that. I would encourage exploring that piece because you do need to support yourself. You need to find some livelihood. I hope your livelihood is in line with your Dharma aspiration. You know, that would be a place to check. You know, if there's maybe that first job, I don't know what that one was, but maybe it was less in line since you weren't so interested in that one. Maybe it was less of a match for you. But I would think, you know, that hopefully the work that you do can be at least not you know, creating harm in the world and not requiring you to lie and that kind of thing. If it's something that you're interested in and engaged with and feel good about as a career, that's fantastic. And finding a way to allow an engagement with that, you know, not resist that, And then also not hold on to it, or, you know, not in an inadvertent way holding on to it in the mind as you come out of that space by thinking, oh, this is, I shouldn't, you know, I should be able to be calm and settled. So the idea that, you know, in engagement with the world, that we're always this like, oh, really peaceful, calm. It doesn't feel like that. It doesn't feel like that to me, at least. There's, you know, the energy comes up. There's engagement. There's interest. There can be enthusiasm for engagement. And, you know, and then we let go of that. So I don't know if that speaks to you, but.
Yeah, it was really helpful, actually. And I guess as you were talking, just like thinking, like if what I'm doing is kind of more in alignment with my practice, which I've been pretty in tune with as I've been applying for different things, but also like it was like the aftermath that felt like really jarring,
right?
In a way, it was like I got wound up and I was like, whoa! It's like it was like really like. I guess there was some resistance and like, oh, like, why am I so wound up there? Right. I was like, why is this, like, I should calm down. Like, and I guess just kind of learning to, and that fueled the fire. You
exactly.
Know?
So, that's what I was pointing to. Yes. Yeah, that fueled the fire. And as opposed to just like, oh, the conditions are different now. Okay. Whew, can I be with this? And encourage you also to be, you know, to bring as much mindfulness as you can to the engagement. It's harder. It is so hard, you know, to be mindful in the midst of conversation and engagement. And yet we can work with that. And that supports also not being so wound up on the other side. But there's gonna be different energy levels. Yeah. So thank you for the question. That's a great question.